questions and answers. First question. I heard it said Genesis 1:1, quote, let there be light, means that the light was actually pre-incarnate Jesus himself. I don't believe this. So from John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was fully God. The Word was God in the beginning. All things were created by him. Apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. Verse 4, in him was life. And the life was the light of mankind. And the light shines on in the darkness, but the darkness has not mastered it.
That is the metaphorical use of light.
Good. I agree. So when the Godhead said, let there be light, I think there was a literal light and a metaphoric light. It was both.
Might have some similarity to the word truth.
Light and truth are synonymous in Scripture. So, this is from NASA's definition of a black hole. A black hole is a place in space where gravity pulls so much that not even light can get out. And that's literal light. Gravity is so strong because matter has been squeezed into a tiny space, and this happens when a star is dying. Because no light can get out, we cannot see black holes. The astronomy definition of a black hole is a region of space having a gravitational field so intense that no matter or radiation can escape. Now, what was the state of the universe at the time of creation?
Solar system?
State of the universe at the time of creation. Was it peace or was it war?
War.
It was war. It was a war of ideas, but it was war. There was not harmony, there was discord. Certain claims of equality had been made by one... Had certain claims of equality been made by one created being versus another created being? Trick question. No.
No.
It had been made by one created being against an eternal being. The created being assumed that the other being was created and therefore claimed equality. Lucifer claimed equality with Michael, the archangel. They're both archangels. Michael, we know, is the being who eventually became Jesus, the member of the Godhead who steps out of infinity and interacts with his creation. He interacted with the angels in the form of an angel. He interacted with humans as a human.
Did a good job.
Yes, and he did such an excellent job of being an angel that Lucifer thought he was an archangel and alleged equality with him. Had allegations of injustice been made against God and showing favoritism towards his creation? Yes, there had. And had allegations been made against God's law? Yes, there had. So the whole point of creation was God providing evidence for the onlooking universe. This is how my government works. And the first step in that was let there be light. The light is both literal and metaphoric. There are two beings in heaven were known as light bearers, Lucifer and Michael. But only one being entered into councils with the Father, and that was Michael. And then in addition to casting doubts on God's law and justice, Lucifer alleged equality with him. And I think it's reasonable that God sent Lucifer and his sympathizers to a place in the universe, a.k.a. an abyss, a black hole, and said, show us what you can do. Provide evidence of your argument. And, of course, Lucifer had no evidence. He had lies and suppositions and distortions and allegations on his side. He had no truth or love or freedom. Sure. And along came Michael.
Job talks about the angels seeing Christ create the earth. Was the devil and his angels in that abyss at that time?
Yeah, I think they were already cast out of heaven. They weren't singing for joy.
Okay.
Like the unfallen angels and unfallen intelligences. But yeah, I think they witnessed it. In fact, I think the I think it was created literally around them.
I thought that Satan and his angels were cast down to earth at the crucifixion.
They were cast to a... No, they were cast out of the sympathies of the intelligent beings at the time of the crucifixion. Satan could come and go to and from heaven up until the crucifixion. He could press his arguments to the unfallen angels. He was cast out of their sympathies at the time of the crucifixion, but I think he was physically cast out of heaven prior to the creation. Any disagreement?
If you ask the question, is there any disagreement, then you are interpreting silence as...
as tacit agreement? Fair enough. I'm open to being... mistaken on this. Scripture, I don't think Scripture provides an accurate timeline. I think you can find some timing of it in Ellen White's writings, although I can't bring the quotes to mind. But I think it's generally understood that Satan and his sympathizers were physically cast out of heaven prior to the creation. If I'm wrong, email me a question and say here's evidence that you're incorrect. I have no problem with that. I want to learn as well. So next question. Well, hang on, back up a little bit. So I think that when Jesus said, let there be light, I think a literal physical light came out of the black hole, came out of the abyss, and a greater metaphoric light was now shining into the minds of intelligent beings, intelligent creation. So it's both a physical and a metaphoric light. Second question, was man spoken into existence like the animals or crafted like a clay sculpture, but with the clay becoming actual cellular organs, muscles, and bones? This is the great, I love doing this. I love the questions and answers because it makes me research and think. I had thought that the living organisms were spoken into existence until I went back and read Genesis 1. Genesis 1, verse 24, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind. Cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth according to its kind, and it was so. So according to Genesis, the earth brought forth at the word of God, but living things were created from the earth. And God made the beasts of the earth according to his kind, cattle according to his kind, everything that creeps on the earth his kind, and saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, cattle, and all the earth and everything that creeps of the earth. So God created man in his own image. We don't have anything about him forming him out of the dust of the earth yet. God created him in his own image, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish, the sea, birds of the air, and every living thing that moves. This is Genesis 1, 24 through 28. And then we move on to Genesis 2, 18 through 23. God said, it is not good the man should be alone. I will make him a helper, comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air. So here again, we have from the ground, the animals are formed, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called the living creature, that was his name. Adam gave names to all the cattle, the birds of the air, and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. The Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Then to Adam he said, okay, and here we are. Now we're in Genesis 3, 17. Then to Adam, God said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it you are taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return." So, it's not till Genesis 3 we get the idea that Adam was formed from the ground. So it would seem, according to Scripture, all living beings on earth, except for Eve, were formed from the earth. Eve was uniquely formed from Adam, who was formed from the earth. Thoughts? Last question. So, Dean, if this is one directed to Tim regarding his blog, leave this up so Tim can comment on it next time he teaches. So I appreciated the Modern Science Scopes Trial article from yesterday. This is the most recent blog, and I can encourage you to read it. I noted in your description of evolution in the king/God you were describing, the King of the North and the King of the South philosophies that our world are under. Would you comment on the thought, currently has Adventism been captured or enslaved by the King of the South philosophy? So, I won't presume to answer for Tim, but I will happily give an opinion. Understand that the King of the North and the King of the South are just two of Satan's devices and two of his deception, or just one of his deceptions, two of his participants in the deception. They're not the only two. For those who don't remember the King of the North and the King of the South, I encourage you to go back and read Tim's blog from 2020, 2021, somewhere in there. Just search King of the North and you'll find the blog. But the King of the South is symbolic of godlessness, a.k.a. Egypt. The King of the North is symbolic of Rome, a.k.a. imperial religion, imperialism. These are not the only two ditches that we can fall in. And I suspect that corporate Adventism has been infected both with the godless King of the South viewpoint, because in the USA, anyway, we have married ourselves to federal monies and school systems and our healthcare systems. Therefore, we cannot take any moral stand on sexual deviance, genital mutilation, racial, sexual differences, none of that. We can't do it. Because to do so would turn off the dollar spigot. Okay, this is King of the South. At the same time, the King of the North, the imperial King of the North viewpoint, many Adventists consider the God's arbitrary, authoritarian, cosmic ruler whose law functions no different than the laws written by men. And therefore, we need to get the right legislators and judges and presidents in place, and utopia will flourish. This is also a lie. Okay, my personal concern for corporate Adventism is it's treading along the exact same path that the first Adventists did 2,000 years ago, the Jews. What are some of the parallels? We have the oracles of Scripture. They had the oracles of Scripture. We have the health message. They had a health message. We have the sanctuary message. They had a sanctuary message. We have the tithing and offering blessings that they had. And we are both the Jews from 2,000 years ago, the first Adventists and the Seventh-day Adventists, were tasked. They had a job to do. What's that job? in a succinct one sentence answer, what's the job that both the Jews and the Adventists were tasked to do?
Tell the world about God.
Reveal God's character to the world.
Mm-hmm. It's to prepare the world for the coming of God to the earth. Okay? The coming of the Messiah. They were tasked with his first coming. We're tasked with preparing the world for the second coming. And if Adventism continues to promote, corporate Adventism continues to promote the imposed law lie, then many in Seventh-day Adventism will welcome Satan as their God, just like the Jews did 2 millennia ago. Harsh, but Satan's done it once. He's convinced and convicted the people that were specifically chosen by God with a specific task, and he warped their minds and characters to where God came and walked and taught among them. They conspired and eventually murdered him. We're fooling ourselves if we think it can't happen again. All right, last question. In Isaiah 6, verses 6 and 7, why do you think the live coal that touched Isaiah's lips to purge his sin and take away his iniquity had to be handled by the seraphim with tongs from the altar? If the angel is holy and the coal is holy, why were the tongs necessary? Okay, so let's look at the text. Verse 6, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. Touched my mouth with it and says, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. So this is from a vision that was given to Isaiah. God is trying to speak to Isaiah in language that he can understand. Okay? This is a strong metaphor. And what do we understand about metaphor? How is metaphor useful?
Well, it's based in reality.
Only when it reveals reality. Otherwise, it's magic and fantasy. So what's the coal symbolic of in this metaphor? Coal of fire taken from the altar in heaven. At the time of Pentecost, there were two tongues of fire appeared above the apostles' heads. What are the two tongues represent?
Truth and love.
Truth and love. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth and love. The coal is representative of God's love, God's reality, His truth, His love, His healing. What's the angel a metaphor for? What's the angel metaphoric of? The angel's both literal and metaphoric.
Messengers.
God's messenger, God's ambassador, the intermediary, the ladder going to heaven with angels descending. It's those communicating the will of heaven to those on earth. So this is from Thoughts on the Mount of Blessing, page 106. To hallow the name of the Lord requires that the words in which we speak of the Supreme Being be uttered in reverence. What holy and reverend is his name, Psalms 111, verse 9. We are never in any manner to treat lightly the titles or appellations of the deity. In prayer, we enter the audience chamber of the Most High, and we should come before Him with holy awe. The angels veil their faces in His presence. And the cherubim, bright and holy seraphim, approach His throne with solemn reverence. How much more should we, finite sinful beings, come in a reverent manner before the Lord our Maker? So in my opinion, the tongs are simply representative of the respect and reverence shown by the angels in approaching the altar of God and sharing His love and truth with humanity. All right. Thank you for your questions and participation.